It's New Year's Eve, 2015, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the show about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to episode 130. Runtime for this episode is 46 minutes. Welcome to the final Last Time on Video Games of the year. My name is Final Jeremy.
I'm Ultimate Tyler. And that's Penultimate Zach, apparently.
There we go. I got it working.
You got what me? Your voice box?
Zach talks with his hands and they were restrained.
The last episode, I had to introduce my own self, so...
Yeah, you normally do. In fact, you didn't even introduce yourself. I introduced you as... I can't even remember, like,
everywhere.
Something like a helper elf or something.
Yeah, something like that. Because I was confused. I got on the wrong place.
So, happy 2015, guys. Sorry we missed a month this year, but, you know.
Well, we have
something... We didn't miss a month.
We should have something new and exciting for you in the year of 2016.
We just forgot to tell them we got catapulted ahead in time a little bit.
Yeah,
travel's a pain
in the ass. The doctor
has
terrible aim.
No, he said you couldn't tell your wife because of the time stream.
That's okay. She didn't notice anyway.
Okay, good.
And besides, you're the one that said it.
Anyway, Tyler, what's your after-Christmas gaming been like?
Not a whole lot going on. Been playing more Assassin's Creed. I finally got my own island, which I went to, spent all my money at, and haven't been back to since.
Did you build a sweet saloon?
I have a tavern. I don't think it's quite saloon level yet.
You just have to install new doors.
Oh.
Yeah, a saloon is just a tavern with swinging doors.
Oh, I forgot. That's where there's the magical assassin armor that needs 5 keys that have been spread around the planet like dragon balls.
Yeah.
And you have to rescue all the assassins you accidentally betrayed to get them.
Yeah.
I've been doing a lot of helping the assassins. That's actually one of my favorite side quests is the continued plot lines with the random assassins.
Yeah. Did you get to the one that used to date Edward yet? That's my favorite one.
No, that's great.
Yeah, it is.
No, I've helped out like some guy in Kingston whose friends got captured by slavers that had nothing to do with the Templars. I've been mostly helping this one chick who's like animal hunter lady who refers to herself in the third person. And then I lost where she was on the map.
Huh.
She's like, okay, I'm going to go over to this island now. Meet me there. I'm like, all right. And then I got distracted by taking over a bunch of forts, and then I forgot where she went. So she's been waiting there for like a month.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're really standing her up then.
Yep. Coincidentally, the last thing I haven't built on my island that I've found a marker for is a brothel. So.
Wow.
So I'm waiting for her.
Sure you are.
Mostly what I remember about her is she challenges you to a hunting off. Where you hunt beaver-like things, and then you get attacked by a white jaguar out of nowhere.
Sounds legit.
Suddenly jaguar.
Yeah, suddenly, like, it was really just suddenly jaguar.
Well, Loki was driving nearby with Sinestro and...
Oh man, we're having an awesome discussion before I left work about the time Loki played tug-of-war against a goat with a rope tied to his testicles. Great times. So, a lot of Assassin's Creed. I finally got back into playing Splatoon. They added another map recently. It is called Mahi Mahi Resort. But the gimmick on this one is that towards the end of the match, about halfway through on ranked matches, the water level will lower, which causes platforms to appear that weren't there before and gives more cover than there was. So suddenly it becomes a lot more strategic.
Huh, that sounds interesting.
I actually really like the one they added before that. I think the one they added before that is actually my favorite. It's something like Delfino Museum. Can't be that because that's the name of the place in Sunshine. But it has like a bunch of rotating columns on it. That one's pretty sweet. So, been playing Splatoon. I lost my S rank, which I held very briefly, and I'm now struggling to keep my A+ rank, so.
Better get Mako?
Yeah. Better get those carry pants out of the closet.
Yeah, I took them to the dry cleaners, and because, you know, they had ink all over them. And
they shrank?
Yeah, my
Tyler,
carry pants are too
lucky
small.
Lucky pants, you don't wash.
Well, it's not washing if it's dry cleaning, right? Wash implies water.
Still counts, because you're getting rid of all the luck that was in the pants.
Oh, there was no luck there, only skill. It only has rooms in its pocket for skills.
In my experience, there's no such thing as luck.
Although luck is a skill.
Yeah.
So, in most RPGs, and also in Naruto, which is apparently an RPG. Oh man, that explains so much about Naruto, actually.
Yeah, how he gets so powerful all of a sudden.
It's a D&D campaign that just lasted way too long.
Well, yes.
Crap, I'm out of enemies. So you guys are just going to fight God now.
and the moon.
Wait,
and
the
then
moon?
Each other.
Well, I mean, you clearly had to fight each other.
And then in the future, some random people that are kind of sort of cloned from Sasuke, but not really.
Is Sasuke still alive in that future?
Yeah.
Okay.
His daughter.
He's married to Sakura.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
And there's Baruto and Hinata.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Hinata is the greatest name.
You let Naruto name them, didn't you?
You know, to be fair, though, that has a heavy moral lesson, is that the women always get the men they want, so...
Well, and Baruto's official name in English is Bolt.
That's
which
better.
Which kind of makes sense, but...
But Baruto? But, come
yes,
on.
So good.
Well, that pays, or in that case, they could have just called them Nart, so... Believe it!
No wonder everyone makes fun of you.
What you want to do tonight, Brain? The same thing we do every night, Nart. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Narf was the noise that Pinky made randomly.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
And there's that one episode that's Pinky and the Brain and Larry. I thought it was Narf for some reason. That's where I was going with it. Then I remembered it was Larry.
Is it the security guard in Animaniacs?
No, he's a third mouse that is just in the episode all of a sudden for no reason.
That's pretty good.
And in the theme song, they just have a guy saying, and Larry, at the end of each.
The Pinky and the Brain, and Brain, Larry. Brain, Brain, and Larry.
No, he's in, and the guy is, like, the entire time saying, and Larry, and Larry, and Larry, and Larry, and Larry, and Larry. It's a really good joke. That was a really good show.
Anyway, not really a whole lot besides that. I feel like there was something else.
Did you brave any defaults?
I have not played Bravely Default
yet. Did you
yet.
Metal Gear any Solid Fives?
I have not done that either.
Did your
I know
Persona
I'm really
any
slacking.
Threes?
Nope. I also haven't even played any Payday or that other game that I've been playing a lot of. That
Undertale?
Is not a set. Yeah, I haven't finished Undertale yet. That's still sitting there. I haven't finished Dragon Age yet. I haven't finished Grandia 2 yet. Remember that game?
Yeah, we stopped bothering you about it.
Yeah, I know. I just watched the ending cutscene. I couldn't make it through the final dungeon. So yeah, that's pretty much that. Zach, what have you been playing?
Well, because I'm not a loser, I've been playing Payday. I played the two Point Blank maps with our buddy Kevin. But we
How
gotta
are those?
We gotta drag him on here one night.
We do. I was actually
or drag you up to Parker's one Monday to just record something. Or
I was making show notes
whatever.
A while ago talking about the time we played 7 Days to Die. I'm like. Zach and Kevin, who hasn't been on an episode, and Tyler have been.
He might as well have been on an episode. We talk about him incessantly, but that's because I do a lot of gaming with Kevin.
So, how are the new Point Break maps?
They're really cool. The first one we did is it's like a sky. I can't remember what it's actually called, but you go through a plane. You open up the bay of it.
It's like a scene from the trailer of the movie,
based
right?
on the movie Point Break.
Yeah.
Can you discharge your gun into the air for no reason? Can they be based on Hot Fuzz instead?
No.
You can do that.
Not.
But I'm only familiar with Point Break through Hot Fuzz. Have you not seen Hot Fuzz?
I have. Point Break is a new movie.
No, it's a remake.
Oh, is it? Okay,
yeah, you know
never
that
mind
movie
then.
That they talk about in Hot Fuzz with the guy discharging his gun in the air?
Yeah.
That's Point Break.
Oh, okay. Well, then.
And that's all I know about Point Break.
Well, at any rate, the first one, you knock a bunch of money pallets out the back of a plane.
Yeah, which is in the trailer.
Skydive after it.
That's pretty sweet.
Like, you're actually skydiving. It's really cool.
They're releasing Point Break the same week as Star Wars, which shows you how much faith they have in that movie.
As I guess which one's going to be better.
Yeah.
Actually, Point Break might catch a lot of people who get to the movie theater.
And can't get into Star
Wars. And can't get into a Star Wars movie, but they're already at the movie theater.
That's the reason they're releasing the Alvin and the Chipmunks movie that week, is because kids will be there trying to see Star Wars. This is
I
the fifth goddamn
that.
Alvin and the Chipmunks movie in a row.
I choose to ignore those existence.
I saw the trailer for it in front of The Good Dinosaur, and like, oh man, this looks really annoying.
You actually watched The Good Dinosaur?
Yeah,
is that good?
How good is it?
It is not the best Pixar film. The comments we mostly had, it's a good movie. It's,
I mean, Pixar did two films this year, so you gotta cut them a little slack.
I kind of want to see that movie.
The biggest thing is, okay, so basically it's an alternate history where dinosaurs didn't die and then developed, like, language and agriculture and stuff, but humans are still co-evolving alongside them.
Okay.
But they have yet to reach any semblance of, like, language and tool making.
Okay.
So, I mean, the story is kind of, it takes an unexpected twist, so I won't spoil it because it's worth watching, I think. The biggest thing is we think they use it as a tech demo because the landscape in that movie is photorealistic. The characters are kind of cartoony. They honestly remind me kind of of Wallace and Gromit.
Oh, huh. Like claymation-y?
They have the same shapes and like proportions to them. They don't look like claymation, but they are shaped similarly.
Okay.
But there are scenes in the background that I swear could have just been photos of like Colorado landscape, except all the trees are animated and it looks gorgeous. They have gone to the other side of the Uncanny Valley, and I think they could probably do the same for maybe not humans, but things that are kind of human-ish.
Like toys. Like in Toy Story 4.
Yeah. No, I mean, they could do like dogs, I think. They could probably do photorealistically at this point. And that was really impressive, if nothing else. And it's a pretty decent movie on its own merits. So.
That's pretty cool.
But I saw the advertisement for the Alvin Chipmunks movie in front of that, and it was a little painful.
Oh, it's always going to be painful with those. But back to the Point Break maps. Once you skydive after this money, you got to secure it all. And so you have to
chase it all the way down to the ground?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty sweet. You have to shoot people while you're skydiving.
No.
Is it as good as the skydiving part in Saints Row 4?
With a tank?
I don't remember.
No, that's Saints Row 3.
Okay, either one. In 4,
no.
You're redoing that part because it's Shawnee's nightmare of Johnny Gat continuing to die.
No, that's not. It's not as good as that, but it's also in first person. It's a very short part, but after you hit the ground, you have to go find these money pallets and secure them and then run off with them.
So it kind of becomes like White Christmas at the end of it?
A little bit, but it's a full-fledged. Most of them are full-fledged pallets. There's usually one that hits the ground and breaks, and you have to find the bundles and put them back on the pallet. The other one is breaking into like an underground storage facility.
As I said, the trailer for it made it look like a cave of some sort.
Yeah, that's the other one is a cave. And there are like 5 or 6 safes that are all named after Greek gods that you have to look at and see if there's anything in them because 2 of them don't have anything in them. And then stealing the different loot.
Are they both loud missions?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They're both entirely loud. You can't do them quietly.
I kind of figured.
Kevin found a new gun, which is the baby deagle that came with the pack. And then there's a sniper rifle that they added that came with Bodhi, who is just a general heister that they added to the game for free.
Oh, really? Kind of like they did with Keanu Reeves for the other movie?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
John Wick.
John Wick. Thank you.
No, Keanu Reeves was in the original Point Break.
Really?
Yeah.
Was? So maybe it's Keanu driving all these movie tie-ins.
The cave one is actually a fairly long level because first you have to break in. Then you have to get the safes open, and only one of them can be open at any time. So you have to get it open, get the thing out, and then close the safe and open another one if you're trying to get more than one thing.
Do guards... Well, I guess it's loud.
You are currently under attack when you're doing that.
Yeah, do guards notice that the safe's open? Of course they do, because they're shooting at you while you're doing it.
Yeah, me and Kevin did it on normal, so we were under no threat whatsoever.
Really quick, did the new character they added come with a perk deck?
Oh, I didn't check. Yes, it did.
Wow, okay.
Sorry, I was thinking about it in... his is called Ex-President. I don't know exactly what it does off the top of my head.
That's fair. I might have to go check it out. Like, I launch the game, and I'm like, oh, hey, they added stuff to Payday, but I launched Payday by accident. I was actually trying to launch Assassin's Creed, so...
Well, we'll have to get you in and take care of those a couple times just to show you what they are. And
well, oh, God, they've added more missions, so now I have to do those on 3Skull, too. Dang it.
Aha!
Stop adding new content over...
Stop doing good.
Yeah, stop giving me free content for my game. I need to get an achievement first.
Technically, those are you have to pay for the Point Break missions.
Okay, yeah, that's
Bodhi is free, but you pay for the Point Break missions. Payday maintains its standard of excellence in what they do. Me and Kevin in one of the rewards we got from one of those missions, we both pulled a Sputnik safe.
Oh,
we
sweet.
Did it at exactly the same time.
So I was actually going to say that Payday's weird for me because I don't feel like it's the best of anything it does. Like, it's a mediocre stealth game. It's a good stealth game. It's a good shooter. It's a good teamwork-based game. It is not great at any of these things, but somehow it is still extremely addictive for me.
Is it just the multiplayer? Is it the level-up tree?
I think a large part of it is leveling up. I actually enjoy level grinding in this game, and I have played way more single-player of this than I played
and
multiplayer.
There's a mastery element of getting the job done the right way.
There's actually an episode of Extra Credits where they talk about this, and they use Law and Order as their comparison for TV. Is it's never great, but it's consistently at least good.
And because we play it as a group, it adds that other level to it.
But
maybe it's just the way I'm introverted. I don't feel like I could go to a multiplayer game that was that way.
His other example of it was Destiny. Destiny's also never really great at any particular point, even though it could have been.
I also can't stand Destiny, so maybe this is a problem with me.
I'm still playing Xenoblade.
Have you gone to SCO yet?
Nope.
Oh.
I'm still kind of dicking around.
You know what you call it when you fire a shot from your giant robot in that game? Usually, you know, at a long distance or something. No? Okay. It's a skell shot. Okay. That wasn't worth it.
I played some Seven Days to
Die inside of your cockpit.
After Tyler fixed the server and it ceased being borked up, we played 7 days.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Kevin cut down a light pole made out of wood and got scrap iron.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be because it has like wire running up the side and that's a more important resource. But we're in the desert, so we actually need a lot of wood and we don't have any. So
we have survived. We are currently bunkered down in a house.
Yeah, I played one more, actually I think two more day-night cycles after that. I found a source of water, so we have like 25 fresh water sitting in the house.
We're going to have to move out because we have like all the resources there. We're going to have to move to someplace else.
It's going to be a hassle to move them, but the desert is a terrible place to be. Although it's low on zombies, so maybe it's good for that reason.
Yeah, but we don't have any other resources. We still need a bolt action for the hunting rifle.
Yeah, the forest next to... I actually found a burnt out city that we can go to. I found a shotgun Shotgun Messiah is the name of the store, now that I think about it.
Well, I knew there was one there because we looked at it, but then there were a bunch of dogs nearby, so we left.
Oh, wait, did you? Because I did this while wandering out on my own.
Well, there was one that we spotted a city, didn't go in the city because there were a lot of zombies.
City. Yeah. Yeah, no, I went into the city a little ways and found a Shotgun Messiah, but Alex convinced me, rightfully so, that I didn't have enough time to explore it before it became night.
And
so
that was when, early game, when I was one unfortunate run-in with a cactus away from dying. I had like one HP or something like that. I'm the only... No, has Kevin died in that?
Nope.
Yeah, Tyler's just the only one of us that's died. You know, so it goes. We've kept ourselves going alive. We've got some resources. We've got a lot of parts for guns.
Yeah, I actually separated those out into their own chest. So
Kevin's got a gun, so that's helpful.
Kevin's got a gun.
I've got almost entirely armor at this point. I look like a bandit of some kind. I've got a ball cap, sunglasses, and a bandana.
So in the wake of our server glitches last time, I decided that maybe my profile was a problem. So I deleted my profile and made a new one. I'm like, I don't feel like customizing my character right now. We're trying to play a game with friends. So I just chose random customized character, and I'm a, like, random black chick, basically. But apparently, at night, I look like a zombie, because the zombies all have dark skin, so it's kind of hard to tell them apart.
Didn't you say that your arms are white guy arms, too?
Oh, yeah, and because it's first person.
You're a Frankenstein?
Yeah, well, except they can't see it when they're looking at me. But on my screen, I have, like, white chick arms. It's definitely, I'm pretty sure it's female, because it has longer fingernails than normal, but... Which wouldn't make sense because the only reason you have long fingernails is because you're not doing manual labor, but they do a crap ton of manual labor, so.
But anyway. I'm having fun with it. We need to drag Cody in because he got the game. And
Ed owns it too. Jason expressed interest in getting it.
Yeah, so. Like we were all talking about it. It's a fun game. I really like playing it. It's another game I can play with friends. And if especially, you know, Ed, Cody, and Jason, we can get everybody playing as opposed to like if we were to play League, only a few of us can play. You and Ed don't really play League.
But
you
having
know,
five or six people at one time, I feel would be really effective, given how good the three of us were at beating zombies to
and
death.
And then if you have, like, take Payday, we all like Payday, but
only four people
only
can
four
play,
people
and that's caused problems
time.
In the past, so.
So you run into that kind of a situation, but having everybody able to play together obviously is going to be a big selling point. Played some League, they added the Poro King game mode back into the game.
The what?
It's called the Poro King. You throw the little, like, mascot characters. They're little fuzzballs.
They're Poros, only Poros. They're white snow Poros.
Okay.
And if you land 10 hits on an enemy, on the enemy team, the team that lands those first gets the Poro King, which is a giant version of that with a crown and a mustache. And he acts as a really powerful minion to help you take down towers and stuff. It's a kind of a fun mode. I played an ARAM. It's on the same map, but my team ended up as the... I was not sure if my team was going to win because it was an undying team, basically, but we didn't have a whole lot of damage. Because the team ended up being Trundle, Dr. Mundo, Soraka, Sona, and Jinx.
I've heard two of those characters before.
So two of them are the tankiest characters in the game, two of them are the best healers, and one of them is a really good squishy DPS.
Jinx?
Yeah.
Yep.
Trundle is a troll that one of his abilities, he steals your tank stats.
Oh, that's actually kind
of
cool.
Yeah, I like using him in the manner of I'm going to be against the enemy tank, so I'm going to be even tankier than him by stealing his tankiness. Mundo doesn't die. And so we were able to basically just face tank the enemy team after a certain point because we just got all sorts of damage and whatnot. And well, not
it sounds
damage,
like a really good balance, if nothing else.
So. Not necessarily, but
you want
it
more
is...
DPS than that.
Yeah,
in particular, you have no magic damage on that team.
Well, Sona was able to build quite a bit. Sona's actually not that bad in terms of
I guess
AP
yeah,
damage,
in ARAM
but...
you build AP on her because you can heal better
and you can get the money for it. But Soraka not a big damage threat. Trundle can be, but he's easily kited around. Mundo's kind of the same way.
Because he trundles.
But fortunately, our Jinx was good enough at keeping herself alive that me and Mundo became massive speed bumps. And Soraka and Sona were able to keep her alive.
Every time you say Soraka, I can't help but thinking it's hot sauce.
Nope.
No, that's Sriracha.
I know.
Nope.
But...
She's the Chikara Banana Lady, only with healing powers.
There is a that's skin great. That is the Order of the Banana Soraka, and it is actually the Chiquita Banana.
Yeah, her auto attack just looks like a banana. That's been the joke forever, and they just embraced it.
The auto attack for the Order of the Banana skin is actually a banana. It's not just a thing that looks like a banana. It is a actual banana.
That's pretty great.
It does about as much damage as 1-2.
It does. It is an awesome skin.
It's about
Kevin
as effective
has.
A weapon as 1-2.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Jeremy.
Not a whole lot.
What have you been up to since your Christmas surprise?
Oh, my God. But still just Pokemon Omega Ruby. Pretty much.
Oh, I don't know why that reminded me. We're starting a Pokemon game.
Oh, yes, we're starting a Pokemon tabletop game. So I've been playing Pokemon Omega Ruby. Because of the experience share and all my Pokemon being super overleveled, I've decided to get into super contests. Also, they're a lot more advertised than they were in the original Ruby and Sapphire. There's this like mascot character who abducts you and recruits you to be a contest person because she doesn't think there's enough of them.
Contest being the pageant-like thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Never did those. Any of those.
Since you have the experience share, it's easy to have one or two Pokemon that are crap, but you just give contest moves. Though there are a surprising number of trainers that use Roar and Whirlwind in this game, and sometimes my poor little Ralts that's level like 8 will just get dragged into the fight.
Well, that's when you just switch. I mean, you can just switch them, right?
Yeah.
So. That's actually one of the things that I really disliked about, I think, Gold and Silver. They're like, look, we can make you switch Pokemon. Isn't that cool? We're going to teach every single Growlithe you ever meet Roar, and that's all it's going to use.
And for some strange reason, it can't learn Growl.
Does Growlithe not start, or not start with Growl?
Nope.
Or does it learn Leer instead?
No, it doesn't learn either.
What?
Yep. It's weird.
Huh.
Growlithe can't Growl.
It does get intimidated as an ability, though.
Nah. I mean, not that either of those are particularly useful moves, but...
No, it's just funny that Growlithe can't learn Growl.
Yeah. Although it does learn Roar, so, you know, that's like a Growl.
So I have a Ralts to be cute, a cosplay Pikachu to be cool. He was wearing a Rock Air outfit.
How'd you get that?
If you win a contest, this woman is just like, I built this cosplay Pikachu. Yes,
I built it.
Well,
didn't you have a cosplay Pikachu in some other game? Or is this also...
Not that I'm aware of, but you might. You can give it a rocker outfit to be cool, a Southern Belle outfit to be beautiful.
Never mind.
I don't remember the other ones.
That's
I remember this now.
Creepy.
I thought you were showing this to me. Ed showed this to me because he played through it a while ago. His is female? Is yours female?
Yes, mine's female. It has a heart tail no matter what.
Yeah. Which means it's female. The one he showed me, it was wearing like a Gurren Lagann outfit when he showed it to me, so that was pretty awesome. Or I guess Kamina specifically, but...
I have an Oddish to be clever.
Clearly. But Clever's a... Pageant
yeah.
or a
so you have
type?
Three Pokemon that are for
no,
pageants?
No, I'm not done yet.
Oh, okay.
I have Mightyena to be tough. Or no, Mightyena is cool. Who's tough? I think maybe Nincada is tough. I can't remember.
It's not a Shedinja? What's wrong with you?
Yeah, well. I don't have a Feebas yet to make it beautiful, but that's the plan.
What, a Feebas?
Well, that's how you evolve it into Melodic, is if it gets to max beauty and levels up, it becomes Melodic.
Oh, is that how it levels
really?
Up?
Really?
Yeah.
I never bothered to catch one, I just always really like Melodic.
Well,
so.
Feebas is supposed to be really difficult to find, too.
They made it much easier.
Okay, because in the old one, it was like in one pond in the middle of nowhere.
It would be 6 water tiles on one specific route, but the 6 ones were randomly chosen based on your trainer ID.
I caught one the first time I played through Emerald, but I also never use it because I'm like, why would I want to use this horrible Pokemon? Then I
I'd rather use Magikarp because it turns into Gyarados.
I'm trying to use Pokemon I haven't before, so my plan is I might use Melodic as my surfer and an actual Pokemon in addition to beauty pageants.
My biggest thing about that game is I remember the champion of the Elite Four was a water-type trainer in that game, and he was actually pretty tough because water has a lot of dual types. Melodic is his like star Pokemon. So
well, also, I got this game when it was new, and so... I have the shiny Metang.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
And also, I picked Treecko as my starter, because duh, so... water won't be a problem.
Because Duh Treecko is the starter in that game?
Yeah. And it now has a Dragon Mega Evolution that apparently isn't very good, but still, I wanted it.
I'd probably still start with Torchic, but I like Fire.
The only reason I didn't choose Torchic is because I have a Blaziken in X.
True.
Just waiting for me.
True.
And I've done Mudkip before. Treecko's the only one I haven't done that game.
I don't think I've ever started with a Grass type.
You never started with a Bulbasaur? Bulbasaur!
No, I always started with Squirtle or Charmander.
I actually think Bulbasaur is my very first starter. It's also my least favorite starter in Red and Blue.
No, but definitely a Charmander first.
Let's see here. Did I ever choose
Gold?
Oh, no, I chose whatever evolves into Quilladin in X and Y because you guys are like, we need one of the grass type starters.
Yeah, so we made you do it.
And it's so bad. It does not scale at all. It's just the worst.
That's okay. When we play Red and Blue for the podcast, you can choose your starter first.
Yeah. Oh, are we all going to choose different ones?
That's yeah, why wouldn't idea. We?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you heard that they're releasing actual Red and actual Blue on the DS. I'm actually kind of excited about that.
Really?
Yep, on the 3DS.
Updated versions?
No, the original.
Yep, actual originals. They might have fixed a couple of the glitches, but...
I'm a little scared of that.
Why?
Because I'm so used to all the new stuff.
Yeah, it's hard to go back.
No, the new games are way better.
In particular, not having an experience bar while you're playing is super weird.
They have a space there for it, too, like the shape and everything.
Immediately upon entering into Gold and Silver, if I remember correctly, you actually get that experience bar.
The animation for it is a little lackluster there. I love the way it feels in the newer games where it's like, boom, and it like explodes when it gets to the end.
You know, it could be that they meant for it to be there, but those games are so buggy in the first place that it just never appeared.
They meant for you to be able to choose your gender in the first ones, but they couldn't quite implement it at time. It was like one of their nice to have at the end of the development features.
And also, Pokemon were supposed to have genders.
Which is why they had
there was supposed to be a third.
And then they shot themselves in the foot forever after by having Nidoran male and Nidoran females different Pokedex numbers. It always feels really awkward to me anymore.
It's not how they would do it now.
Yeah, but they happened once, and you can't get rid of them now, so...
Yep.
Because people actually like those Pokemon. I mean, they could consolidate them into one, but...
They'd have to change the Pokedex numbers, though, is the big thing.
That'd be the problem, because, I mean, with the Pyroar change, where they have the female and the male have different archetypes, or... different sprites and different looks, they could actually do that pretty easily. But like you said, the Pokedex entries would be more of a pain in the ass to change.
I would even say that Nidoqueen and Nidoking could still, and even Nidorino and Nidorina could be different Pokemon. It's just that Nidoran male. Well, they have different movesets, so.
Yeah, because like Cumby only evolves as it's female. So we already have sort of a precedent for that.
Also Burmy.
And Gallade and Gardevoir are not entirely gender dependent, but.
But Gallade is.
Yeah.
Because that's a psychic fighting, right?
Yep. Mostly notable because it learns Hypnosis and False Swipe.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. That's useful.
I thought you were also talking about that also got Mean Look, or was...
Cody was talking about that, which is true and is useful.
For very similar reasons.
Yep. It's a very good catch Pokemon.
It's also pretty good in actual competitive play, but if you care about that, because it's a good typing.
But Gardevoir is better.
It depends on what you're going for.
Pixelate, Hyper Voice.
Wait, Pixelate?
I'm Mega Gardevoir, specifically. Okay. It's Pixelate, which turns all Normal-type moves into Fairy-type moves. So she gets Stab on Hyper Voice.
I actually just found out that abilities like that existed because I chose the Rock Ice Brontosaurus as my fossil Pokemon.
Yeah, which has that for Ice.
Yep.
And you can have Ice Tri-Attack, which is pretty sweet. The only problem is that it's Grass Rock, which might be the...
It's Rock Ice,
which might be the worst type combination possible.
I like that Pokemon, but oh god, is it a horrible type. It dies to pretty much anything that looks at it funny.
Although it's pretty fast and has decent special, so...
Yeah, but honestly,
it's not that fast, though.
I'd rather have the Rock Dragon.
Why Rock Dragon?
Because that's the Tyrantrum.
Oh, okay. Those are pretty good. I actually like Tyranitar a lot, although that's not actually Dragon, but...
No, Tyranitar's pretty good, too. It's just that of those two was what I meant specifically.
So really quick, before moving on from Pokemon, GameFAQs finished its best game ever. I won't reveal the results quite yet. But Pokemon Red and Blue beat out every other generation of Pokemon.
Yeah. No,
that's nostalgia talking.
That is the wrong choice. Also, Undertale got surprisingly high, and I feel like Undertale's a good game, but not...
It's recent, and it's something the market needs, right? It is filling an obvious hole in the market.
The problem is, I don't think it's going... Like, it doesn't have great replay value. Like, it is a good game,
neither
but...
Neither does Earthbound, and it's still...
That is true. It sounds really good. I mean, arguably, Chrono Trigger's not even with the multiple endings, so... Also, Melee beat a crap ton of games that I think are better than Melee.
I do think Melee is the best Smash Bros., though.
Have you played Smash 4?
Yeah,
it's great.
I do like Smash 4.
Actually, watching people play Melee, I can see why it's still the more popular competitive game. I'm just not good at it. So
it's because it's harder.
Yeah,
I prefer not to need to combo things. I'll just hit it once and knock it off.
No, I really like doing the combos. I feel like Smash is like introductory to fighting games, but you have so much more mobility than other fighting games.
That's why I want Hector so badly.
Hector would be a great character. Anyway.
So yeah, I know what else would be great if Hector was playing ice hockey.
That would be great, especially using his axe as the...
That would be a real blade of steel. It would not be Konamic Hockey, which you may know this game as if you live in Europe. Blades of Steel is an NES hockey game by Konami, back when the NES was all sports games, like baseball and balloon fight. Balloon fight is a sport,
and
right?
Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, and Duck Hunt.
And, although they also had baseball, which we played for this game.
We
Punch
played for
Out.
This game?
Yep. For the podcast, they had Punch-Out, which
Punch
we played
out was
for
later.
The podcast.
So, Blades of Steel. Remember a few months ago, we were talking about how the Sega carts that said Sega at the beginning took up one-fifth of the cart to do that?
Yep.
Blades of Steel, I don't even want to know how much NES cart they spent on these god-awful sound clips, including...
Blades of Steel!
I actually did some research into the voice compression for this, and they actually pioneered new voice compression techniques specifically to make it fit on an NES cart.
There are like,
it sounds so awkward.
There are three clips, I think. There's Blades of Steel, Get the Pass, which is more like Get the Bleh.
Oh, I thought that was somebody bumping into me. And then there's Face Off.
Yeah, Face Off. That's the other one, which sounds
but like. You can make it out, but it's kind of a run together sound effect.
So yeah, it's a hockey game. A is pass, B is shoot.
Every button is fight your opponent.
It's pretty much what you'd expect. You have a face-off, whoever can pass faster gets the ball. Puck. You should probably just hit B really rapidly. That always won me the face-off.
That pretty much does.
And then you play hockey. The passing is pretty reliable. It's a little hard to aim, but it auto-aims basically, and I only had a few dropped passes.
I scored on myself trying to pass to my goalie.
That never happened to me.
That's pretty great. Although, as Zach kind of hinted at there, scoring is really... Your goalies are terrible. That's
you'd be better off with six guys on the ice instead of a goalie.
The problems with the goalie is you automatically switch control to your goalie as soon as the enemy starts shooting. But if you're not ready for that, a lot of times you'll be pressing a different direction, so your goalie will actively move away. After I played almost a full game, I started preparing for goalie control as soon as a shot was about to be taken. And with that, you can pretty much guard the goal. But you're going to have like 10 to 11 scores, which is ridiculous for hockey. Although,
considering a high scoring hockey game has 5 goals total.
That does make it a little more exciting, though, because it's on an NES. You can't have a very big hockey rink, unfortunately. So
I thought it was.
I think that's an artifact of that in part.
I thought it was interesting that they went with that side scroll instead, because a lot of the games that I play, because I've actually played quite a bit of hockey games from around this generation, and some sports games like football and whatnot in this generation, they went with that semi-side scroll instead of the top-down view that a lot of the other ones used, which would probably have netted them a bit more freedom in what they could do with the goalies and whatnot.
It probably would have looked a lot worse, though, and I think graphics were a selling point for this game, because it looks like garbage today, but for an early NES game, it looks
compared to
good.
An Atari.
Or compared to baseball on NES. Yeah. I mean, this looks really good.
It's no Super Dodgeball, though.
Yeah, that is true. They managed to keep all the sprites on screen.
So it's a pretty simple hockey game. The one sort of wrinkle they put into it is if you bump into someone who has the puck 3 times without bumping into anyone else, you'll start a little fight. And if you hit 2 really quickly, you can just beat them up and take the puck.
And they get a penalty for losing the fight.
No.
That's if you actually get into a fight.
Yeah. If you don't do that, though, you go to like a side 2D fighting type game. You can't move. You just have block and punch, and you can aim at the head, the midsection, or low with both your hits and blocks. And whoever wins the fight sends the losing player to the penalty box and gets the puck immediately, you know, like in hockey.
Yeah. The loser of a fight gets a 5-minute major for fighting. No, that's actually something that they had in Mutant League Hockey, too. You got a 2-minute penalty for fighting and a 5-minute penalty for fighting and losing.
Yeah, it's not very realistic, but it does make the fighting more fun and engaging. It makes you want to win.
Yeah, it has stakes.
And yeah,
stakes
as opposed
are really
to
important.
The problem with a lot of fighting in hockey games is it's meaningless. Technically, I mean, it's meaningless in real hockey, too, because
but the only reason it happens there is because you have a bunch of spectators. But if you're the one actually doing it as, like, part of a video game, it's way less engaging.
So. Yeah, well, that in hockey, there are other reasons to do it, you know, whatever. Usually, you know, we have to be manly men, fight, whatever.
Now, if it just cut into, like, a clone of Street Fighter 2 every time you did it, I'd be way more into that.
So. Yeah, but this
got your health
nice
bar,
little...
and they're both sitting there on their ice skates.
Puck dog and...
This is a nice way to break up the gameplay, though, because the hockey is... I don't want to say it's boring. It's fine, but it's not amazing.
It's just fine.
My problem with that lies in the fact that since scoring is so easy, being on the attack in passing and whatnot is meaningless, because you shoot for the goal, wait for the goalie to get out of the way, which is going to be fairly quickly anyway, and just... put the puck in the net and you're good to go.
Because scoring is so easy, defense becomes a lot more important. And a lot of the time I would do a lot of passing just because I was trying to kill time rather than actually score a goal.
Which is something I do in a lot of sports games, honestly, is just pass by time once I'm winning. But
one of my biggest problems with this game is it feels like periods take a really long time.
They kind of do. They're set up as 20-minute timers, but I think they take, I want to say, 7.5 to 10 minutes to actually complete.
Which is quite a long time.
Of course, if you just let the thing tick down, it might only be a 5-minute timer, but because you have so much time on the celebratory things after scoring goals, that it actually extends that timer quite a bit.
That's true.
That is a problem I had. When you score a goal, your guys all start celebrating and it's like, yay, we scored a goal. The other team goes to the faceoff, and then you have to wait like 10 to 15 to 20 seconds for your guys to actually show up to get the faceoff. For a little while, I was actually kind of expecting them to, like, me to need to prompt something before, so they drop the puck and I wasn't there. But no, it just takes them forever to get back off their celebratory asses and get over there to get the puck.
Although, the only other thing that breaks up the game is during the third period break, you can play a little mini game, which can either be a Gradius boss or like a little Contra level, and that's kind of clever.
It's pretty fun, and actually, Konami, after this, kind of has a history of just putting some of their early games into other games.
Yeah, Gradius is in Mystical Ninja, as we talked about.
It's clever to do that, but it also kind of implies that they knew that the game you're actually playing is getting boring by this point.
Well, but they also have those little break games if you go to a hockey game, so I think it's more to emulate that.
Yeah, actually, possibly. Basketball has that, too, with like the halftime show thing.
Well, a lot of them, they actually go fast enough that you don't have those breaks because... you don't need them because the game is over fast enough, or that you're cycling through things quick enough that you don't need them. Like in baseball, you have stretches and whatnot between innings. You don't have that in any of the baseball games we played because the innings are over so quickly. Or the fact that you're not worrying about a commercial break in between, which is usually what those are taking up, is commercial timeouts or TV timeouts. But because you're not worried about that, you don't need these extra minigames, so you can actually focus on making the game itself move and flow much better.
Which is probably the better design strategy for, you know, a solid game.
I mean, heck, the best example is when I play a football game, when I play Madden, it doesn't take me 3 hours to complete a game.
Yeah, and nor should it.
It doesn't take 3 hours to complete this either.
No, I was using it as an example because football is a realistic side of things. Trying to emulate that would make Madden take 3 hours, whereas Madden in the actual game takes like 20 minutes.
A game of this takes about 15 minutes to a half hour. It depends on how slowly you're going. Honestly, I think this would be a great Game Boy game if they could, you know, do a reasonable.
I think the normal video or at the time the Game Boy itself wouldn't have been able to handle this. Especially
the bigger problem would be the sprites would have to be really big and you wouldn't be able to see much of the rank. Well,
and the problem with that you'd run
and
into,
and you wouldn't get the sound,
the blinking nature of what player you're on. That's the other reason why I thought it was curious that they went with the side instead of having top down with a ring around whoever you're controlling. Because maybe it's because that's what everybody's done after. Makes it a lot easier. But
they
because it's blinking, on the Game Boy, you wouldn't really be able to tell, because this was also before the era of backlighting.
Okay, maybe I misspoke when I said Game Boy. I meant a mobile game. How about that?
Right. Possible.
So really not much to say about this. It's a pretty simple NES sports game. More complex than the other ones we've played, I think, but...
better than them, too. They're I'm ripping on it a little bit, but this game actually does have a lot more going for it and is a lot better put together than the other sports games we've played so far, with the exception of maybe Tech Mobile.
If you're trapped in 1986 and like hockey, I recommend you pick this up.
I mean, it's a decent game.
But I don't recommend you pick it up today, in the year, whatever year we're in.
No, you can probably go a few years forward, like on Origin, a couple of the older hockey NHL games are available, and I'd probably go with those despite their problems. Which those might come up eventually.
Or you could go to the far future of 2007 and play Persona, which is totally a sports game.
Yes.
Totally.
So, sports.
There's physical activity involved, mostly killing things.
That's a Japanese national pastime sport.
Killing monsters. As
well,
they
yeah,
appear in
you
your high school hallways.
You do join a sports club. You don't have to, but you're encouraged to, and the only way to get one of the social links is to join one of the three sports
clubs. What clubs are there? Soccer, clearly.
Nope, nope.
What?
That one's full.
Oh.
It's kendo, track, or swimming. They're mechanically identical.
I know, I'm trying to decide which one I would actually
I did kendo.
I think I mean, kendo's the obvious choice, so I'd probably go with track. But
probably swimming if I had to pick one.
Yeah, Zach has to go with swimming. It's like Pokemon. We all have to choose a different
one. Well, I was going to say, I chose Squirtle. Zach chose Squirtle. I chose Bulbasaur. And by process of elimination, you must have chosen
I chose Charizard.
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 Have you guys seen the, like, one letter off Charmander evolution line remakes?
Yeah.
Those are pretty good.
All right. So let's put it to the test if it's better than those games. On our website, www.lasttimeonvideogames.com, we have a list of all the video games we've played, ranked from the best, Chrono Trigger, 0% sports, to the worst, Golden Axe, also 0% sports. In the middle is Crazy Taxi, which is like, 10% sports? 15% sports?
I mean, it's got like somewhat high skill-ish driving. You have to not kill people.
A few below the midway point is the highest NES sports game on our list, Tecmo Bowl. And while Tecmo Bowl has a little more going on with the NFL play calling, the AI is a lot harder, and I think... Oh, one thing we didn't talk about is this has three selectable difficulties of AI, which is nice.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Which is novel in a game this early.
But I think it's a little better than Tecmo Bowl. Just a little, but...
No, I would agree with that. I like Tecmo Bowl because I like football, but it's got some significant problems that I think this one at least dodges some of.
And I'd have to make it unanimous. I think I like Blades of Steel slightly better than Tecmo Bowl.
So just a little above Tecmo Bowl is a sports-ish game on the NES, Super Dodgeball.
I love Super Dodgeball. I'm sorry, I can't give it to this game over Super Dodgeball.
Super Dodgeball was fun. I'm having a hard time figuring out whether or not I think this game is better or worse. It doesn't suffer from the same technical limitations of players blinking in and out of existence.
But it doesn't have the fun of Super Dodgeball, and by the fun, I mean the whimsy, the ghost Stalin.
Yeah, you're right.
Well,
I mean,
the character design in that game looks so cool.
It's better technically, but I think Super Dodgeball just had that extra something that just makes it a better game.
It's got quirkiness, which, as I've mentioned before, goes a long way to increasing my opinion of the game.
So there is one game between Tecmo Bowl and Super Dodgeball. How do we think Blades of Steel compares to Ninja Gaiden?
Huh. That's a good question. I'd probably have to give it to Ninja Gaiden, actually.
I'd have to go with Blades of Steel.
My argument is that there is a lot more mastery element, knowing how to be...
There's more to Ninja Gaiden, and it interested me for a lot longer, and the game would change up more as you went on.
I thought Ninja Gaiden had more involved rather than actually skill involved.
The more I played it, I played a little bit after the podcast, and I think the more I played it, the less it seemed like that. It's still no Castlevania by any
means. I mean, that's why it's lower than the halfway mark on our list. But I still think it was more interesting than Blades of Steel, which is okay, but not very interesting. I would play Ninja Gaiden again long before I'd ever boot up Blades of Steel.
On the other hand, Blades of Steel is a lot less of a time commitment. And sometimes you want that in a game, so...
But it still feels like too much of a time commitment to me.
Well, it sounds like I'm outvoted anyway.
That's actually... I find that I play on these Street Pass games. I find I play... Zombie Wars Z, the Zetanine, and the like side-scrolling shooter a lot less, even though they're probably the most complex and well-implemented games in the list, because they take slightly longer than any other ones.
All right, then Blades of Steel will go at number 72, just a few below the halfway mark, below Ninja Gaiden and above Tecmo Bowl. So now they'll probably be dance partners forever.
Until we play some other game that's probably a mediocre sports game.
Probably.
Nah, I think most of the sports games that we'd go for after that would be better.
So, it's been a holiday season. I'm not sure who's supposed to be next, but I think it's probably Jeremy.
It is, and since next episode will be a brand new year, I want to get us started on a hopefully good fit. So, I was also, since Zach now has a Wii U, considering playing a game that we wouldn't have been able to before, but most of those are sequels that I really want to play, but we're not quite there yet. And Earthbound, I want to probably give some more breathing room between that and KOTOR. So I say that next time we play what I think is my favorite Mario game, Super Mario World.
I was wondering when we're going to get around to that.
Now, Super Mario Bros. 3 is really good. Super Mario 64 is really good.
Is that the first appearance of Yoshi?
Yep.
Yes, it is.
All right, I think I've played that game before.
Probably.
It's pretty good. It's like $7 on the Virtual Console. I actually already have it because that was my free game for Club Nintendo is shutting down. So
I have it on the Wii. I will probably spring the $1.50 to upgrade because I have 3 save files that are completely complete on the Wii version. So well, I can spring for a few more.
Should be interesting.
Yeah, hope so. So next time on Last Time, Dinosaur Slaves.
Also known as Extra Jumps.
This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games. Copyright 2015. All the games, movies, and other media mentioned in the show are copyright their respective owners, in case that wasn't obvious. Past episodes, articles, and other information can be found at www.lasttimeonvideogames.com. If you'd like to contact us, send an email to ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com. If you'd like to find us on Twitter, we are at ltovg. We can also be found on iTunes. If you wanted to help us out, we would really appreciate if you left us a 5-star review. No extra lies were lost in the recording of this podcast.
Cut that pun, please.
Nope, I'm going to add sitcom laugh track laughter.
That would be great, actually.
Conversely, when you get shot back, you end up with skull shock.